everybody, and welcome to That Wrestling Show, the podcast where all pro wrestling matters. I'm your host, Bill, and don't worry, folks, I am not at a Coldplay concert cheating on my significant other with another woman. Don't worry about it. This week on the show, going to review two pay-per-views, pretty much like I had said last week, AEW All In and WWE Evolution, and how one of them might go down as one of the greatest pay-per-views of all time. What a week. What a wonderful weekend it was for professional wrestling this past weekend. Gonna talk about that. Gonna talk about the Bill Goldberg fiasco that happened that night, and gonna get into some other news. But before I get into the news and other stuff, there's been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun with these streams on Twitch, which you guys can follow me on Twitch. It is twitch.tv/bobull4. That is B-O-B-U-L-L, and then the number 4. So, I'm going to say this now, and I'll probably make the event on our Facebook group, which, you know what, I'm going to copy the link now, and then I will put it in the chat, so if people in the chat want to officially join the group, it is right there. We had a pretty good time, last week with All In and Evolution and all of those, previewing those shows. The next big event coming up is SummerSlam weekend. That is August 2nd and the 3rd. I could tell you right now that the night before, August the 1st, going to be a SummerSlam preview show on That Wrestling Show. Going to do it here on the Twitch. Probably 8 o'clock Eastern time is when I'll probably be hopping on and getting the festivities underway here. And going to preview SummerSlam. Going to be talking about other stuff going on in the world of wrestling. Pretty much what I am thinking at this point is the weekend of pay-per-views, or the Friday before a pay-per-view, mainly WWE and AEW, they will be previewed here on the show in the Twitch, twitch.tv/bobull4. Pardon me. And, you know, you could join in. Give us your picks, who you think's going to win the big matches, discuss, you know, what's going to happen and all that. So keep an eye out in the Facebook group for that event. That is going to be Friday, August the 1st. Preview of SummerSlam 2025, a big weekend right around the corner. Going to start with a bit of unfortunate news. This made the rounds yesterday all over social media, and this is sad news. I, you know, would not want this to happen to anybody. Buff Bagwell was in the news yesterday, and it was unfortunately announced that he had one of his legs amputated. And this, it's sad news. It really is sad news to happen to anybody. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're a current wrestler or a past wrestler. So I'm going to read this statement. This is from Steve Stasiak of Book Pro Wrestlers, who is the one that pretty much reported or broke the news. So, yesterday morning, Marcus Buff Bagwell underwent an above-the-knee amputation following years of painful complications from a 2020 car accident. After doing everything he could to avoid this outcome through surgeries, infections, and a long, exhausting recovery, his fight has now taken a deeply challenging turn. We're sharing this photo today with heavy hearts, but also with deep respect for a man who's still standing tall in spirit. Buff gave everything to this business, his body, his energy, his charisma, and he's given fans a lifetime of memories along the way. Now is a time for love, for respect, and for reflection on what strength truly means. Everyone processes news like this in their own way. But if you have a good memory of Buff, if you ever smiled when he hit the ring, if you just want to send something kind into the world today, this is that moment. We're thinking of you, Buff. You're still Buff. You're still the stuff. And you've got a whole world behind you. And there is a picture, if you haven't seen it, of Buff Bagwell in the hospital. You know, I've had a family member, my grandmother, 20 plus years ago. She had to have her leg amputated. Not because of a car accident, but she had an infection in her leg. And, you know, it's one of those instances where if you don't get it, you know, like cut, if it doesn't come, you know, if you don't take care of it, you're going to die. And this is one of those unfortunate situations, that happen. And I'll tell you, you know, I remember Buff. Or Marcus Alexander Bagwell, or however you want to call him. When he was in WCW, like years before the NWO, before he became Buff Bagwell. And one of the things that I remember was if you watch, say, the first 6 months to a year, the character that they gave Buff, besides the, oh, he's a youngster, he's a rookie, he's an up-and-comer, is that he's from high school. And, like, as a kid, you kind of buy into that. And, you know, when you watch back as an adult, 91, 92 WCW, you're kind of like, really, this is the best they could do? Is he, you know, comes from high school? Like, that's the best you could do? But no, like those first few years of Bagwell and WCW, he did a lot of tag team wrestling. Too Cold Scorpio, Z-Man, Sting, Brian Pillman, The Patriot, Scotty Riggs, American Males, they did a lot of like tag team wrestling, and he was a good tag team wrestler. You know, let's not take anything away from Bagwell. In the tag team ranks, he was a good tag team wrestler. And then when he, you know, does the singles push, the singles run in WCW, with the NWO and becomes Buff Bagwell, you know, that's where he, you know, becomes like this big name. And one of the feuds that I kind of remember right away is the feud with Lex Luger leading up to the match at Starrcade 97, where Bagwell gets the win. It's like the last win the NWO gets the entire night. Because Hennig loses, Bischoff loses, Hogan loses, and Bagwell is like one of only two that win, and I think the other one was like a six-man tag. And then you had the unfortunate neck injury right when his career was going, but he was able to make a comeback, and, you know, he was a mainstay at WCW all the way to the end. You know, right up until that company closed. And, oh, thank you. And, And then, you know, he gets brought into WWF, has that match with Booker T, which I'm not going to really talk about here. And then that was kind of that. Because after that, he kind of just floats around the indies. Like, if you watch the Dark Side of the Ring episode about him, there's like a lot more detail about him. But it's sad, you know, what happened with him losing his leg. I know I speak to, on behalf of everyone in our Facebook group, our fans that listen to us or listen to the show. Our thoughts go out to Buff Bagwell during this difficult time. And hopefully, you know, he will get better. He will be healthy again. And, you know, hopefully we'll get to see him, you know, at a, you know, pop up on videos or convention or whatever sometime down the road. Hopefully we will get to see him again. Also want to talk about the whole thing with Seth Rollins. This is such a unique story. So on Saturday night's main event, he has the match with LA Knight. Towards the end of the match, he does a move. I guess it's a moonsault, I guess would be the right term. And when he lands, like when he goes feet first, he injures his leg. And, you know, they have to audible the finish, and LA Knight wins the match. So there's so many complicated rumors of what this is. It's a minor leg injury. It's a major leg injury. This is a storyline. I really don't know at this moment. If this is an injury, which I believe this is an injury, I believe the Seth Rollins leg injury, I think he's going to be out for a while, and I just hope he heals up. I hope he gets better. If, and this is a big if, this is an angle, man, are they going to have people fooled. If this is an angle. And I'm kind of like holding my breath, like, okay, this is an angle, right? But we'll see how this plays out. Apparently he's had some nagging injuries for a while. And he's had a rough week. Like, he had a rough week. Because earlier in that week, his home in LA got broken into. Thankfully, nobody was in the house. There was money that was taken, but that was it. But yeah, between that and what happened Saturday night, you know, Seth had a rough week, and hopefully things will get better for Seth Rollins. And to stay with Saturday night's main event, the whole fiasco with Goldberg has the match with Gunther, loses the match, which it's your last match. You should lose your last match. He's giving his speech, his farewell speech. In the middle of the farewell speech, it gets cut off and to another show. Oh my gosh. Okay, look. If you hate Goldberg or if you like Goldberg, that's not really what this is about. It's the guy's last match. It is his last match. Let him talk. I don't care if he runs over time. Let the guy talk. Let him say goodbye to the people. Let him, you know, let him say goodbye to the fans. Because this, you know, this is it. This is Goldberg's goodbye. And it gets cut off in the middle of his speech. It can't get any worse. That night, that moment for Goldberg. I just don't know what to say except, damn, you know, holy crap. But SummerSlam starting to shape up. 8 matches have been announced already for SummerSlam. We're going to have a street fight. We're going to have a steel cage match. We're going to have title matches galore. And of course, one of the more talked about matches coming up for SummerSlam. I'm not doing a preview of the match today. That will be in a couple of weeks. Randy Orton and Jelly Roll against Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul. Who had this on their 2025 bingo card? I know I didn't. Did not have this on my 2025 bingo card for wrestling. Randy Orton and Jelly Roll against Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul. Wow. Did not see that coming. Honestly, did not see that coming. I'll tell you though, Jelly Roll and Logan Paul, they're doing their part so far in promoting this match. Jelly Roll was hosting the Jimmy Kimmel show, which in this day and age, I don't know if that's an honor or if that's a torture, but anyway, he and Logan Paul do a segment where Jelly Roll chokeslams Logan Paul through the desk. So they're hyping up this match. They're doing a good job. And, you know, you got two veterans in there, Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre. So they're going to do their job. Let's see how WWE handles promoting the match itself. Will they do a good job with it? Will it suck? Remains to be seen. We will see what they will do with that one. There is one other piece of news, but I'm going to save that one a little bit later on to talk about, because there are two pay-per-views that I'm going to be reviewing right now. Going to get into them. AEW All In and WWE Evolution. And I have my grades for these shows. And I do have Dave Meltzer's ratings as well, for those that care about the ratings for, you know, from Dave Meltzer. But basically, with All In, I have some of the numbers. 175,000 buys on pay-per-view for this show. Fourth biggest in AEW history. Behind All Out 2021. The first Wembley show 2023. And Revolution 2024. Streaming numbers were up over 40% from Double or Nothing. And a big part of that here in the U.S. was the promotion that Amazon was giving away. Was if you bought the pay-per-view, you'd get a $10 credit for, I think it was Amazon Prime, I believe was the number, or was what it was. The tickets, north of 25,000. WrestleTix listed it as 26,153. Some were saying 28,500, some are saying 29,000 was the attendance. Either way, this was a very well attended show. $3 million gate. This is an unbelievable gate. Unbelievable. For a non-WWE pay-per-view, non-WWE event. $3 million gate. That is incredible. Merchandise $725,000 in merchandise revenue could be the largest for a non-WWE show in the U.S. or Canada in history. Think about that. Almost $750,000. Just unbelievable. Now, I'm going to say this right now before I go into the review of the main show. Yes, this was a long show. This show, if you include the buy-in show, was 7 hours. But I'm only counting the main show, so from 3 to 9. And I'm going to say this. And if people get upset with what I'm about to say, that is fine. They are entitled to be upset. But I'm also entitled to say what I'm about to say. I applaud AEW for going well past the time whenever this show probably would have ended and basically take the fans away from the first hour of Saturday night's main event to do this pay-per-view. It was basically them saying, okay, WWE, okay, TKO, you have placed 3 shows on the same weekend as us. Great American Bash, you have it start at the same time that we start. Okay, all right. You got your women's pay-per-view Sunday. Not really going to affect us in any way, but you still have that going on. And then you decide Saturday night's main event. You're going to do that. Okay, well, we're going to run overtime. And we're going to take the first hour of your audience away from you to see this pay-per-view for those who bought the pay-per-view. And sometimes, you know, I don't always agree with these decisions, these, you know, tactics, but here, gotta make an exception. Have to make an exception. This is AEW's biggest show of the year. This, you can make the argument, maybe the biggest show AEW's ever done. Maybe. Why not do it? Why not do it? So, let's get to it. Let's get into AEW All Out. All in and out. How about that? We're all in and we're all out. So we begin with the match for the Trios title. It was Death Riders and Gabe Kidd versus the Ops. I thought this was an all right match. Nothing really to, you know, write home about. This was a match that should start a pay-per-view, and you know, you get a good enough opening match. I thought this was a good pace, good enough to, you know, get the pay-per-view started. You didn't want this match to get lost in the middle because it probably would be forgotten. The Ops retain the title after Joe hits the Muscle Buster on Wheeler Yuta to retain the titles. After the match, Death Riders attack the Ops. They put a chair on Samoa Joe's neck, and they pretty much take him out, and he is forced to leave on a stretcher. But really good, good enough match, good start to the pay-per-view. I gave this a C grade. Meltzer gave this 3.75 stars. Next match was the Men's Casino Gauntlet. I'm not going to get into everything here, but this was a fun match. They had a lot of guys in this one, and a lot of guys had a chance to showcase their abilities. showcase what they could do. And this was a very well done match, very entertaining. We got the return of Juice Robinson, which was a nice surprise. But gotta talk about the ending, because I thought the ending was really well done. Max Caster would end up being the last guy to enter the match, because the match can end at any time. So he comes out, he's on the mic, and he does the whole chant, "Let's go, Max, he's the best wrestler alive. Let's go, Max, he's the best wrestler alive." So he gets in the ring, and he gets knocked out. So Roderick Strong and Mark Briscoe are in the ring. Mark hits the J-Driller on Strong. He's got him beat. MJF comes in, knocks Briscoe out to the floor, takes advantage of a prone Roderick Strong. 1, 2, 3. MJF wins the match, wins the contract for a future title shot. I thought it was really well done. Just a really good match all around. I gave this a B. This was a very strong B. Meltzer gave this 4 stars. He gave this 4 stars. So after the match is really a heartbreaking moment, because we had learned during the pre-show that Adam Cole could not compete and thus had to vacate the TNT title. And there had been no reports whatsoever what the reasoning was. It's a possibility that he suffered another concussion, which, if that is the case, that is absolutely heartbreaking news. And, you know, concussions, they're nothing to play with. If you watched or read the notes, from Tony Khan's post-show press conference, he talked about how Adam was fine Thursday night, because he did have a match Thursday night. He was fine the night before, and then it was during the middle of the night when he just didn't start to feel right, and the doctors came, and it was like, we can't let him wrestle. So Adam gives this very heartfelt speech. He said he wasn't retiring, but he was crying. There were fans that were crying. Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, who came out there. Well, Strong was already out there, but O'Reilly came out there as well. They were crying. You kind of hope for the best. If this is his, you know, if this was his retirement, and like if this is the end, it's a sad way to go, because there was a guy that, oh my gosh, he was going to be a star, like a huge star. He really was. So we go to the match now for the vacant TNT title. It is Daniel Garcia, Sammy Guevara, Dustin Rhodes, Kyle Fletcher. This match, it never really had a chance, because, you know, Cole gave the speech, and it was like, now we have to have the match to crown the new champion. And it's like, you know, how is this going to go? What's it going to be? And how it ends is Garcia goes for, you know, a possible figure four, could be going for a sharpshooter. Dustin Rhodes reverses it into a small package. 1, 2, 3, Dustin Rhodes wins the TNT title to the shock of, I think, just about everyone, because I know for me, I thought Fletcher was going to win the TNT title, And then when Cole vacated the belt, I was kind of like, okay, he's gonna win the belt. But Dustin wins the TNT title. He breaks down and cries. And the fans are happy for him. Dustin is in possession now of 3 championships. The AEW TNT title, the Ring of Honor Tag Team title, and the Ring of Honor Trios title. He's in possession of 3 belts. Unbelievable. I gave this match a C. Like, there were good moments. I can't bash this match under the circumstances. Meltzer gave it 3 stars. Then we go into a really big tag match. Swerve Strickland, Will Ospreay against the Young Bucks. Stipulations are as follows. If the Bucks lose, they lose their title of executive vice president. If Swerve and Will lose, they both do not get a title shot for a year, a world title shot. This was a really good tag team match. This was really well done. I thought it told a great story. It was like everybody wanted to make sure they were not the ones to lose because of the significance of how important losing this match is. Because, you know, if you're the Bucks, if you lose, you're no longer executive vice presidents. And if you're Swerve and Will, you don't get a world title shot for a year. So there was a lot riding on this one. Just a very well done match. Everybody looked great, I thought. Swerve and Will got the victory after, you know, a house call Hidden Blade combo. And Swerve and Will win. The Bucks are no longer executive vice presidents. They are out. Goodbye, sweet life. I gave this an A minus. I do plan on rewatching this match. My grade might change at a later date, but for right now, I am sticking with my A minus grade. Meltzer gave this, what a surprise, 5.5 stars. What a surprise. So how in the world do you follow that one? Well, you follow it with the women's casino gauntlet match. I'm going to be honest. I rather enjoyed this one more than the men's. And I think part of it was because I had one of my nephews with me watching this. And he was into this match. And it was all very good. It was very well done. You had Chris Statlander and Megan Bain starting the match. You know, they're just going right at it. And, you know, eventually everybody comes in. The women put on a tremendous job here. I'm going to say this, you know, and I'm going to be talking about a lot of other matches here. This might have been the weekend of women's wrestling. With this match, the AEW women's title match, which I will be talking about soon, and then Evolution 2. This might have been the weekend of women's wrestling. Absolutely might have been the weekend of women's wrestling. So in the end of the match, Athena, off the top rope, hits the O-face on Mina Shirakawa. 1, 2, 3. Athena wins. Huge pop. This was long overdue for Athena. She's been AEW Women's Champion for 2 years now. It's just a matter of time before she is AEW Women's World Champion. Loved this match. I gave this a B plus. Meltzer gave it 4 stars. So after that match, we have the three-way for the AEW tag team titles, Hurt Syndicate Defend against Mike Bailey and Kevin Knight, Jet Speed, and Christian Cage and Nick Wayne. I think this is the match that suffered the most out of all the matches at All In. This is the match that suffered the most because you had to follow two really good matches. Hey, Jim, I'm talking about All In. Go ahead, leave your thoughts. I'm on the three-way for the AEW tag team titles. I thought while this match was good, this match suffered because of the position in the card and what was yet to come. So FTR had joined the commentary table, and that plays a role into the end because there ends up being this big melee, and the Hurt Syndicate retained the titles, which didn't surprise me. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to agree with you. I kind of expected it to be worse, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. It wasn't as bad. So I gave this... What did I give this? I gave it a C grade. Probably my least favorite match of the show. Not because it was bad or anything, but I just couldn't really get into the match. Like there was good action, but I just wasn't like, oh, you gotta see this one. So after the match is where it gets entertaining. So you got FTR in the ring with Stokely. You got Christian, Nick Wayne, Kip Sabian. Sabian's got a chair. So Christian and his group are about to leave when Nick Wayne grabs Christian and hits the kill switch, which got a big shock. Like, this part of it was kind of out of nowhere. The other part of it was, yeah, this was gonna happen. This was gonna happen. So they beat up on Christian, and they're about to do the concerto on Christian when all of a sudden Adam Copeland's music hits. Huge ovation. And he's got his board. He's got Spike. And, you know, he chases pretty much everybody off. So he and Christian are alone in the ring. Now, I should mention, at this point, I'm now up to 2 nephews. The 2 younger ones are there. Adam's got Christian up, and he's got the mic. When he first says the word go, I was like, oh no, he's gonna say go F yourself. I'm like, in my mind, I'm kind of losing it, because I'm like, yes, they're 13 and 11. Yes, they've heard these words, but I don't want them to hear it on this show. So then he says, go find yourself. Ooh, okay. So there's a good storyline. And the report that I've read, and Jim, I would love to hear your comments, is this is going to lead to All Out in Toronto in September. And the main event is going to be FTR versus Adam Copeland and Christian Cage, which honestly does not surprise me one iota at all that would be the main event of that show, because Copeland and Christian are both from Toronto. So that really would not surprise me. As far as the match goes, I gave it a C. Meltzer, Wow, Meltzer's a lot nicer than I am. He gave this 4 stars. He gave the three-way a 4-star rating. So the supposed main event for All In or All Out, whatever that show is in September, is going to be FTR versus Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. Doesn't really surprise me. Does not surprise me that will be the main event. Really doesn't. Now we go to the triple main event. And up first, Mercedes Moné versus Toni Storm. And at this point, the nephews are leaving, but they see the video package for Moné and Storm. And one of them is like, I hope the lady that was bleeding wins, referring to Toni Storm. Folks, I'm going to say this right now, with all honesty, and I know I'm going to probably get people surprised and, you know, why'd you say this, but hear me out when I say this. I thought Toni Storm and Mercedes Moné was the best match of All In. I really did. And I will explain why when we get to the Texas Death Match. I'll explain why. But as far as these two women go, you got the spotlight on you. 25,000 plus. This is one of the best women's matches I have ever seen. This match, from beginning to end, was unbelievable. Great storytelling. Great wrestling. Just the two of them had you. They just had you by the throat and were not going to let go until it was over. They both hit their best moves, could not beat them. It goes back and forth and back and forth. And then at the end, Toni Storm hits an avalanche Storm Zero. Okay, Jim. I see your Jigglypuff with a gun. I'm going to explain why when we get to the Texas Death Match. Toni Storm hits an avalanche Storm Zero from the second rope. 1, 2, 3. Toni Storm wins, retains the women's title. Honest to God, folks, I think this was the best women's match I have seen all year. And that's even including what happened Sunday night, which I will talk about in a little bit. This was an A-plus match for me. Absolutely loved it. The right person went over in the match. It should have been Toni Storm. Toni Storm should have won that match. Absolutely. A-plus rating for me. Meltzer gave this 4.75 stars. You know what? Sometimes I will complain, but you know what? I'm not really in this one. I'm not going to do it. But still, just an amazing match. It was an amazing match. Talk about Dynamite. This past week. All right. Well, I'll get to Dynamite probably. All right. Second match of the triple main event, Kenny Omega, Kazuchika Okada for the unified title. This was another really good match. Not on par with the matches they've had in Japan. So Jim, right there, I probably have made you happy. I'm not going to put it as a 5-star or whatever. Part of it is because there's two real reasons. One of which is they both got older. Age does get to everybody. And I think Kenny's diverticulitis kind of played a part in it. But this was still a really good match. This was still a really good match. good back and forth match. There is interference. Beretta, Rocky Romero got involved. Omega hits the one winged angel. One, two. Don Callis pulls the referee out, which basically saves Okada. Okada eventually does get up, hits the Rainmaker. Okada is the unified champion. And I didn't get a chance to say this on the last show, which I'm going to now. I really like the pairing of Okada and Don Callis. I really like this pairing. I think Okada with the Elite, while on paper it's like, oh, it's a dream faction right here, Okada just didn't really fit. Okada didn't really fit the group. Here, with Don Callis as his manager, it fits him. Callis is a great mouthpiece. Okada's a great athlete. It's kind of like a match made in heaven. It's almost like, why didn't we get this from the beginning? Why didn't anybody think about it? But no, I it was a really good match. Jim Ross was on commentary for this and the main event. And just so glad to see Jim Ross. I really am. Glad to see he's healthy. Glad to see he's doing all right. I gave this a very strong A. Meltzer. What did Meltzer give this one? He gave it 4.75 as well. So, all right, now to the main event. The final main event. The Texas Deathmatch. Adam Page versus Jon Moxley. So I'm going to explain why I prefer the women's title match over the Texas Deathmatch. And you know what? I'm just going to say it right now. I gave this match the same grade as the women's title match. They both got an A+ from me. The difference between the two, and I'm sure I'm going to hear it from Jim next time I talk to him, is as much as I loved the violence, I thought this match was just a story match. It's the culmination of everything that has happened since October, from John winning the belt to putting the belt in the briefcase to basically affecting every single person that got involved in some way. You know, it just was a great story match. And Jim, you were there. I think I sent you the reply that my dad said when we saw the fork spot early on in the match. And my dad was like, holy crap. Oh, shit. You know, he was just at all. Yeah. I think what I'm going to do is I'll probably rewatch again the women's match and this match again to see which was the better one. But it just was so well done. You know, everybody played their part to a T. I love this match. Don't get me wrong. This was the right time to take the belt off of Moxley. It really was. Adam Page should have been the one to win it, and I'm glad he did. And Adam Page's promo on Dynamite Wednesday night was really good. It was really, really good. Again, I gave it an A+. So many spots. Oh! Okay, yeah, the spot with Nana was really good. The spot with Nana was really good. Because honestly, okay, so the spot that Jim's referring to is Marina Shafir goes for, she was going for the briefcase. Yeah, she was going for the briefcase. And she gets handcuffed. My initial thought, I thought it was Willow Nightingale, because she plays a part in this rivalry. And I was like, okay, Willow is the one that cuffed her. But when you see it's Nana, it's like, oh, that's even better. That's even better. So, but Adam Page wins after choking Moxley with the chain. Really? You would have hated that? Okay. Okay. Hey, you're entitled to your opinion. And Moxley just, like, he's not sure what he wants to do, and he just taps out, and it's over. It is over. But you got everybody involved, and I love the part with Darby Allin where, like, he's, you know, the video of him on top of Mount Everest, and he's like, I'm going to take everything away from you, Moxley. That storyline's going to be great. That is going to be a great storyline. Meltzer gave this 5.5 stars. That is his rating. So, yeah, 5.5 stars. All right, so real quick, what did our Facebook group think of AEW All In? Well, it's positive. The votes are split. I haven't put up an AEW poll in a while, because normally a lot of times it'd be like, oh, negative, negative, negative. It was either an A or a B grade. I'm giving this an A grade. I think this was the best show of the year. I think this is the best pay-per-view of the year by far. Unless there is another pay-per-view between now and December 31st, 2025, that is as good or better than this, I don't think it can happen. I think this was the best pay-per-view of the year. And as far as the people's favorite match of the pay-per-view, the majority of the people who voted went with the Texas Death Match. They went with the Texas Death Match. Had a couple votes for the Bucks and Swerve and Ospreay, but you all know my vote, Monet and Toni Storm. But again, I am willing to watch both matches again. Who knows? Maybe my thoughts will change. You never know. All right, let's get to our WWE Evolution. This is basically a two-match show. This is a two-match show. Very good beginning. Fantastic ending. And then you had the middle. That's basically the way I'm going to put Evolution as. Great beginning. Great ending. The middle was there. So we begin with the triple threat match for the women's intercontinental title. Becky Lynch defending against Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. This was a really good triple threat match. Got my lunch. Be back in a bit if you're still on. Good timing, Jim. So this was just a really good three-way match. I thought all three women really put in the effort into this one. Really well done. The end of the match, Bayley hits the Divine Rose on Lyra, and you're thinking, this is over. And Bayley's got the title one, but Becky sneaks in and pins Bayley to retain the women's intercontinental title. But like I said, I thought this was a really good opening match. And for the majority of this pay-per-view, this was the best match of the show. I gave this an A-. Meltzer gave this 4.25 stars. Okay. Next match was the NXT women's title match, as Jim gloats that he got his food from Five Guys. Five Guys has good burgers, really good fries, I think. I love their fries. We need to get a Five Guys up here. There's a lot of restaurants I want up here. I know we got a Chick-fil-A opening in Williamsport, but I'm not willing to go all the way to Williamsport to get Chick-fil-A. I'm sorry. Even if they do have great milkshakes. All right. So anyway, Jordynne Grace challenging JC Jane for the NXT women's title. Good enough match, but the ending is ruined, not by the wrestlers, but by the commentary. Michael Cole in particular messes up the ending. Oh my God. So during the pre-show, Jordynne Grace asked Blake Monroe if she would be in her corner to counter Fatal Influence, which she said, yeah, absolutely, I'll do it. So towards the end, Fallon Henley, who, Jim, if you're still listening, I have not suggested to Alex that he names one of his upcoming or future chickens Fallon Henley. I've not done that yet. I will, though. She takes her down. Then she takes Jasmine Nix down. Then, the end of the match, Jordynne Grace runs to the ropes. Blake Monroe has the NXT women's title in her hand. She hits Grace in the back with the belt. And Michael Cole's reaction is, oh, that had to be an accident. I'm like, excuse me, what did you just say? This had to be an accident. She clearly hit her with the belt. So JC Jade gets the win to retain the title. And even into the replay, he's like, oh, this surely was an accident. And then when he looks, he's like, oh, maybe it wasn't an accident. Oh, dear God. What in the world? Michael, you had one job to do. You had to, like, you had to sell sell the switch here. It's like, really? This is how it ends? You botch the heel turn, which is supposed to be a big moment for NXT. It's supposed to be, well, okay, maybe not a big moment, but it's supposed to be a moment. JC Jane retains. I gave it a C. Meltzer gave it 3.25 stars. But oh my God, can we go quickly talk about the Michael Cole botch here? Michael, you've been working with this company for nearly 30 years. You've seen turns. This is the worst one you've ever called. Oh, it was an accident. So I'm on the chat. During the pay-per-view. And I'm like, you know, this is probably the reaction you would have when the Hindenburg exploded. You'd been like, oh, that's normal, right? Or if the Titanic sank, the iceberg is supposed to be in the water. Oh my God. Michael, you had one job. One job. That's all you had to do. Sell the turn. Sell the turn. Oh, it was an accident. Good God. Okay. Next up, Fatal 4-Way for the women's tag team titles. The main thing I could tell from the entrances, I thought Alexa got the bigger pop than Charlotte did. I really did. If you don't believe me, go back, watch the entrances. I think Alexa got the bigger pop. This was a good match. I thought Sol Ruka did a fantastic job. She hit the Soul Snatcher on Flair so well. It was just really good. Like, when is Sol Ruka coming up to the main roster? I'm ready for some Soul Snatcher. The end of the match, there's an accidental spear by Zarya onto Sol Ruka. Charlotte and Alexa, they get double teamed. Rodriguez hits the Tejana bomb on Sol Ruka. Raquel and Roxanne retain the titles. Wow. Okay. I gave this a C. Meltzer gave it 3.25 stars. Then, after that, the WWE Women's title, Trish Stratus against Tiffany Stratton. There were times during the match, where this was sloppy. It was. But I believe because Trish is the veteran here, she was able to kind of calm Tiffany down, get her through this match, and they had a decent enough ending match. Tiffany got the win with the PME to retain the title. After the match, there's a thank you, Trish chant. And they brought up a good point. You never know if, you know, this match is her last match, because with wrestlers like Trish and until the other night Goldberg, you never know when their last match is going to be. I gave this a C. It was, like I said, there were times where it was sloppy, this match, but they were able to salvage the match, make it a decent enough match. I gave it a C. Meltzer gave it 3 stars. Then we had the street fight, the no-holds-barred match, Jade Cargill against Naomi. Bianca Belair was the guest referee. This is a match, while it was good, this could have been done on a SmackDown. I'm not saying the women didn't do a good job, because they did. I thought they did a good job. It's just, I didn't feel like this was a pay-per-view match. Did not think this was a pay-per-view quality match. But it was a good match. It was. Naomi is fantastic, you know, as a heel. I think this is the best Naomi, character-wise, has ever been. And Jade, you know, is just doing really good. She's still kind of in that level of there's potential. She could get there. When is she going to get there? That's the question. When will she get there? And honestly, who knows? End of the match. Jade grabs Naomi. She hits Jade off the top rope through a table to get the win. I gave this a C+. Third favorite match from the show. It was a good match. Nothing really to, you know, write home about, but it is what it is. Meltzer gave this 3.5 stars. So after the match, after that, is the women's battle royal. So Nikki Bella comes out first because, you know, we got to get Nikki Bella out. And it's something that drove me nuts. And again, I talked about this in the chat. That's one of the advantages, folks, of joining our Facebook group is we have a chat. We have a group chat that you could join in, talk about anything wrestling related, pay-per-views we do. I want to say after Chelsea Green and her group came out, I couldn't believe this. They did a cutoff from the pay-per-view. And it was like, if you don't have the top tier for Peacock, you're not going to see all the other wrestlers' entrances. If you do, then you get to see them. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is a pay-per-view event. This is not Raw, not SmackDown, not NXT. You don't do this. No, you don't do this. You either, here's what you do. you either have the majority of the women that's in the battle royal already in the ring, and then save the entrances for the, you know, the select few, or you give everyone like a 5-10 second entrance. Don't cut them off on the pay-per-view if you're watching on Peacock and you don't have the top tier or the no ad tier. Oh my God, that drove me nuts. Yeah, hopefully I don't make you laugh and choke while you're eating your lunch, Jim. Okay, so this battle royal was, it happened. The two moments of the match, Michael Cole botching Candice LeRae's name again for Candice Michelle, who, oh, by the way, wasn't even on the pay-per-view. I don't know if she got an invite. There were women that did not get invitations to this show. And yet Vicky Guerrero was on there. Oh yeah, Mother of the Year, Vicky Guerrero. She was at the show, but not Candice Michelle. So yeah, Michael Cole messing up Candice LeRae's name with Candice Michelle. How do you mess that up? So we get to the final four. Nikki Bella, Nia Jax, Stephanie Van Kuur, and Lash Legend. Nikki Bella is eliminated first, then Nia Jax comes down to Lash Legend and Stephanie Van Kuur. Both go over the top. Stephanie does the devil's kiss move multiple times, and Legend is eliminated. Stephanie Van Kuur is eliminated, or Stephanie Van Kuur wins the match, pardon me. And then Stephanie McMahon comes out, because Jim, I don't know if you know this, but Stephanie McMahon invented women's wrestling. So she gets on the mic because she was co-host with Joe Tessitore. She attempts to do an interview with Stephanie in Espanol. Now, I'm just going to be upfront with y'all. I know a few Spanish words. I could not, for the life of me, conduct an interview in Spanish to a Hispanic person. Could not do it. Absolutely could not. I would botch it in a heartbeat. And basically, Stephanie's like, I got the title shot. I'm going to win the title. There we go. I gave the match, yuck. Yeah, that's about the right way to say it. Oh, okay, Jim, I got to go back real quick. I forgot to mention this part. So I'm going to mention Stephanie McMahon again. So she and Joe Tessitore, they hype up the Trish-Tiffany Stratton match. And Stephanie goes, oh, yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to this. I've known Trish for a long time. And Tiffany's amazing. She's like 25 or something. And I'm like, really? You don't know the age of one of your people. I think you'd do a better job of, you know, informing us if she's actually 25, you know. Oh, man. Okay. Battle Royal, I gave a C. It was my least favorite match of the show. And I'm a fan of Battle Royals. I like Battle Royals. Meltzer gave this 3.25 stars. Now to the main event. For the Women's World Championship. Io Sky, Rhea Ripley. Unbelievable match. Unbelievable. These two have a fantastic women's match. Second best women's match of the entire weekend, behind Toni Storm and Mercedes Moné, despite what Jim will tell you about Moné and Storm. This was the second best match, women's match of the entire weekend. These two go at each other. It is fantastic. At one point, the referee accidentally gets knocked down. Rhea hits the Riptide. She's got Io pinned. The fans are counting with her. It's a 10 count, but there's no referee. So this match goes out to the floor, goes through the crowd. They fight in an area where there's a bunch of, you know, boxes there. Io hits a beautiful moonsault onto Rhea. The fans are going crazy. This match is incredibly good. It gets better and better and better. Both manage to get back in the ring. The original referee, Jessica Carr, gets back up. And there's a double clothesline. Both women get knocked down. It's like you're catching your breath. Like, what is going to happen next? Out of the blue, Naomi, who had been in a street fight, no holds barred, whatever, you know, whatever it was, comes out. She cashes in her Money in the Bank contract, makes it a triple threat match, wallops Io Sky with the briefcase, goes after Rhea Ripley. She hits her finishing move, gets the count. 1, 2, 3. Naomi wins the women's world title. This was so well done because, and I think I believe I had the same thought as everybody else did. She was probably going to cash in on Jade Cargill because Jade has the title shot at SummerSlam. I thought for certain she was going to cash in on Jade, but she doesn't. She cashes in on this match, wins the women's world title, and it's like, if there's anyone that deserves to have a title right now, as far as women's wrestlers go, Naomi is that person. Because she's come a long way, and a lot of the political BS she's had to go through, she wins the match. She wins the title. After the show ends, if you stayed long enough, Naomi's left, Rhea and Io, you know, they slowly get up. The fans give them a standing ovation, as they rightfully do. This was a wonderful match. Best match of the show, hands down. And now it leads to something bigger with SummerSlam. I gave this a solid A. Meltzer gave this 4 3/4 stars. Okay, so Jim asked me a very good question here. Do you think she, meaning Naomi, only won on this specific show because AEW showcased Monet? That's a good question. That is a really good question, Jim. It would not surprise me. It would not surprise me if that was the reason. It really wouldn't. Because with everything, you know, All In did, going that extra hour long, going into that first hour of Saturday night's main event, it wouldn't surprise me, honestly. It would not surprise me if they called that title change because of that. It really wouldn't surprise me. Not one bit. All right, so let's see what our Facebook group thought of Evolution. It's a split vote. Some people gave this a B. Some gave it an F. I'm going to give this a B. I don't think it's an F grade show. Like I said, the opening match was really good. The final match was great. Everything else was just, it was just there, pretty much. Favorite match from the show, pretty much everyone that has voted picked Rhea Ripley and Io Sky. I mean, what other match could you pick besides that one? Jim, you just replied. I want to read this reply. Jim thinks yes, because when Monet lost, they were probably all right. We're giving her better tag team partner the win. Again, that honestly would not surprise me. Would not surprise me if that was the reason why they did it. Wouldn't really surprise me. All right. One final piece of news that I do want to discuss, and then we're going to wrap this show up. This is WWE TKO related news, and this is the kind of news you don't like to hear, but got to report it anyway. PW Insider reported on Friday that according to a company memo, any severed employees will now receive 2 weeks of pay for every year they have worked for the company, effective immediately. That's a change from the previous way of 1 month for every year. The outlet also reported that there are additional caps on the policy based on management level, but have not heard particulars on it. It is unknown if the policy also applies to other TKO properties like UFC, Professional Bull Riders, On Location, and IMG. TKO has not been in the news for any layoffs as of late following a multi-year consolidation after merging UFC and WWE and eventually bringing on the other aforementioned companies. On various investor calls, TKO's Mark Shapiro has mentioned looking for efficiencies throughout the various brands. I'm going to get the Dynamite, Jim. Don't worry. I'm going to talk about Dynamite. Don't worry. There had been reports that TKO is billions of dollars in debt. So this news doesn't really surprise me. Doesn't really surprise me. Okay. Now I'm going to talk about Dynamite, Jim. Just for you, I'm going to talk about Dynamite. Loved the Adam Page promo to begin the show. Loved that promo. Well, thank you, Grogu. I'm happy to see you're excited. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see how things go with Adam Page's world champion. I really hope. This run is a hell of a lot better than the first run. I really do. Let me pull up the results, because, I mean, Wednesday night, you know, it was a few nights ago, but still, Wednesday nights, some nights, you know, for us old people, you know, it could be an eternity. It really could. Kyle Fletcher and Mascara Dorada, that was a good enough match, you know, Fletcher getting the win. So, you know, you kind of have Fletcher on his way trying to get back or trying to get the TNT title. The whole first half of the show I thought was really good, because it teased the Young Bucks. So they arrive in like a rental car, but they're not driving the rental car. Someone else is. And they have to go into the entrance of like a really shady part of the venue. And they're walking down these steps and everyone's making fun of them. And then when they get to their locker room, there's a guy with a Sharpie. Crosses out EVPs, just writes Matt, Nick on the paper. And then Don Callis comes in and he talks about how, oh, it's wrong that you guys are being made fun of, that you lost this, blah, blah, blah. You know, we could do a work agreement. And he's like, you don't have to be part of the family, you know. And what I found interesting was when they do agree to hug it out, one of the Bucks has a look of concern, because it is Don Callis, where the other one's like, ah, this is going to be all right. This is going to be good. So they are in an 8-man tag with Hechicero and Josh Alexander against Kevin Knight, Mike Bailey, Bandito, Brody King. It's a good 8-man tag. There's really nothing to say about it. Really, you know, like I said, nothing much really to say about it. But the Bucks do get a win. Oh, the Bucks' entrance is great. Oh my gosh. So, because they lose the EVP position, they don't have the pyro anymore. Their full names are crossed out. They're no longer Matthew Jackson, Nicholas Jackson. It's Matt and Nick. And it's written in like, kind of like a marker type font. And it's so well done. And then there's like a EVP circle and it's crossed out and it's just really well done. And the music stops and it's just really well done. It was, they're going to run this for a little bit and it's really well done. I really enjoyed it. So, Adam Copeland comes out, talks about that he wasn't there to save Christian Cage, because Christian Cage has been they're just commoners now, pretty much. You hit it. They're commoners. So Adam Copeland comes out, says he didn't come there to save Christian Cage. Cage has been a thorn in his side since he got to AEW. The reason that he arrived at All In was to go after a FTR, because they tried to end his career. So Stokely Hathaway comes out with security guards. And Stokely tells Copeland, if he touches FTR one time, he's fired from AEW. So he can't do anything to FTR. But as Copeland mentioned, or figures out, okay, I can't touch FTR, but you didn't say anything about you. So Stokely sends his security guards. They get beat up. He hits Stokely with a spear. That's pretty much it. 4-way women's match. Winner gets $100,000, and they can donate to whoever they want. Tekla got the win? I thought it was Queen Aminata. Tony Storm has a really good promo. I mean, really good promo. And, you know, she's like, I have beaten the best. I am the best. And Athena pops up on the big screen. And Billy Starks is there. And she's got her contract that she won. So she signs the contract, and she already knows when she's going to cash it in, when she's going to face Toni Storm, but doesn't reveal it yet. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Athena and Toni Storm. Okada had a squash match. That's really all you need to know. And then the main event was a 6-man tag, Death Riders against Adam Page, Powerhouse Hobbs, Mark Briscoe. Darby Allin got involved. Darby Allin scaring Moxley. Remember, he's going to ruin everything for Jon Moxley. Good guys go over. And that's pretty much your dynamite. So, let me see if I can get a rating, their TV rating, real quick. And then I'm going to mention one more thing, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Because if I remember correctly, they did a decent job in the ratings this week, AEW did, because the ESPYs were on ABC, so they weren't affected by that. So, it's not there, but all right. So let's quickly, because I'm going to feel bad if I don't mention this. Slammiversary is tomorrow night for TNA. This could be the biggest Slammiversary ever. Gate-wise, like attendance-wise, gate-wise, like this could be the biggest pay-per-view for TNA ever. So this is what we've got. We've got, for the main event, triple threat match for the TNA World Title, Trick Williams, Joe Hendry, Mike Santana. I think Santana's going to win that one. I think. Then you have... Oh, I already talked about Goldberg getting cut off at the beginning. Yeah, I talked about that. It's like, I feel bad in a way, but it's like, it's Goldberg, you know. It could only happen to Goldberg. Masha Slamovich, JC Jane, winner takes all for the Knockouts title and the NXT Women's title. A four-way ladder match for the TNA tag titles. The Nemeths, the Hardys, the Rascals, and First Class. Mustafa Ali against Cedric the Alexander. Moose defends the X Division title against Leon Slater. Tessa Blanchard facing Indy Hartwell. You know what? I'm going to root for Indy Hartwell. I hope Indy Hartwell wins that match. Oh my God. Is Tessa Blanchard going to TNA one of the worst signings this year in wrestling? Because the fans just don't like her at all. It's like, why would you bring in someone like Tessa Blanchard? Yes, Moose is the X Division champion, Jim. He is. And there's an 8-man tag match, Dark State against the System and Matt Cardona. And then there's two pre-show matches with Enzo Amore involved in one of them, and a match for the Knockouts tag titles. So, and then AJ Styles is going to be at Slammiversary tomorrow night. That's the rumor that I have heard, and why, you know, AJ should be at Slammiversary. He is TNA. He always was, always has been. He will be TNA. That's the card. That's the card for Slammiversary. With Goldberg, I didn't watch the match, but dude, it's his retirement speech. Let him have his moment. Just let him have his moment. I know he hurt Bret Hart by accident. Bret will never get over it. But let the dude have his goodbye. Just let him have his goodbye. Seriously. This was a very big week in wrestling. The Cowboy, Hangman Adam Page, wins the AEW World title. He rides again on top of the wrestling world. I will admit he was right about one thing. What is that, Jim? I'd like to hear this. Kind of interested to hear what Jim says. Yeah, that is true. That is absolutely true. That would not have happened to Undertaker or Shawn Michaels. That's absolutely true. I agree with that 1,000%. Okay. I will do the plugs if you guys have any questions or comments. send an email, thatwrestlingshow11@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter @WrestlingShow11. Follow the show on Instagram, That Wrestling Show, and join the Facebook group, That Wrestling Show Fan Group, where we have over 500 members in the group. And Jim, I'm going to remind everyone that's been listening already, and I'm going to let you know, Friday night, August the 1st, going to be back here on Twitch, SummerSlam preview show, where, unfortunately, Cardi B is going to be the host. Ugh. I can do Logan Paul, because Logan Paul is actually a good wrestler. I could deal with Jelly Roll, because I think Jelly Roll's actually a decent human being. But I can't do Cardi B. Cannot do Cardi B. Cannot. No, please, Jim, don't even suggest that. Okay. So here's the deal, folks. If there is no show next week, because it may be a quiet week next week, then the next show will be the SummerSlam preview show, which will be here on Twitch. If there is a show next week, I'll be back here on Twitch and wherever you listen to this fine podcast. Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of That Wrestling Show, the podcast where all pro wrestling matters. And Jim, I'll be talking to you in a moment. As always, wrestle on.